ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। So in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, many subtle facts are gradually becoming clearer. Upanishad is discussing the Adhyaropaha in the first chapter. So Adhyaropaha has been followed by Apavadaha, negation. And this method itself is used ultimately mainly for us to arrive at the reality. The purpose of, which never forget, the ultimate purpose, the aim of the Upanishad is to help us arrive at the reality, Brahman. Doesn't matter which methodology, what method the Shastram uses. The only aim of the Upanishad is to help with the reality, to help us arrive at the reality. And once you arrive at the reality, there is no way that you can arrive at the reality in any other way. You see, yourself and the world, both being the only truth essentially, that reality. So when you arrive at the reality, that way you see yourself and the world both having their existence in the only reality. Whatever views, the notions you have about the world and the self resolve. That is how we discover the freedom. That's how we discover fullness and happiness. So here, adhyaropaha means superimposition. And what is superimposition? What is superimposed upon what? The world is superimposed upon the Brahman. The superimposition of the world. Superimposition of the world means what? We need to understand here. When you do not know what is really, what is there really, what the reality is, and when you do not know that you do not know what the reality is, helplessly, choicelessly, whatever you perceive is taken to be reality. It's exactly like when you do not know what is rope, and you don't see the rope. Then, but in your perception there is a snake. For you, only snake exists. Why you see the snake? Do you want to see the snake? No. Not that your choice. Helplessly you see the snake. The perception of snake is because do not know what is actually. So seeing the snake is adhyasa. But when you take the snake as real, that is adhyaropa. You attribute the reality belonging to the rope. Is it attributed to this snake? Okay, now what is superimposed upon what? Now, there is superimposition of the snake upon the rope. Is it clear? The same way, we do not know what is the what the absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman is, and we do not know the reality, and we perceive this universe, because in the universe you have to perceive. You perceive the universe, and you perceive the universe, and you take the universe as reality. And mistaking the universe as reality is what? Superimposition of the universe upon Brahman. Is it clear? And later on, how do you arrive at the reality? You negate the world. Later on, when you arrive at the reality, you don't need to, the universe becomes negated. When you understand what is rope, then you don't need to chase the snake away. When you discover what is rope, what happens to the snake? Disappears. Similarly, when you discover the water, in spite of experiencing the form of ocean, the ocean resolves cognitively, resolve the ocean. The question of, until you discover the water, ocean is there enjoying, is there as reality. But the minute your attention is shifted from the form to the water source, and you can dissolve the wave ocean cognitively, as mithya. Isn't it? The same way here also. Once you discover the reality, then the world is negated as mithya. That negation is called apavada, isn't it? But initially, we have to see this. So, when you talk about this world is superimposed upon universe means, upon Brahman. This universe is superimposed upon Brahman means, which is the manifest universe. Naturally, the source of the manifestation, the source of this universe, which is in terms of the unmanifest also must be what? It is not created, it was already there. Means, it was already there means, it was there as unmanifest means, unmanifest universe also was, must have been where? Same Brahman. Therefore, unmanifest also is superimposed upon Brahman. There is neither unmanifest nor manifest universe. What was there was Brahman. What is also Brahman is the fact we have to arrive at. Okay? Therefore, when we say there was unmanifest, last class I explained to you, unmanifest was there before means, unmanifest was not even the Maya, not even the power known by the term Maya, not even the reality, powerful reality, reality, but Paramatma, the reality alone was there. Reality was unmanifest. Remember I explained to you? Therefore, unmanifest may mean Paramatma, as a powerful Paramatma, Paramatma with this power, or Paramatma alone, Brahman alone, or Brahman with this power, or with the power itself. It can mean anything, but still, Shankara makes it very clear in this Upanishad, in his commentary on this. No, what was only Param Brahma, Paramatma. So what unmanifest? Paramatma. And that Paramatma, everything was there, all the forms and functions were there, and they have become manifest. We saw all these things last class. How, why and all, we don't discuss. We simply say, all the forms and functions were there before, they become manifest. The idea is not to understand how they have become manifest, no. We just understand, they have become manifest. Only thing is, even though the forms, names and functions imply only the objects of perception, instruments of perception, and the abodes of enjoyment are there. But the enjoyer must be there. Without the which enjoyment of the experience of the world is not possible, and for which we say Paramatma himself has entered into this universe, this creation. And that statement is there in all the Upanishads, in all important Upanishads. And the statement revealing the entry of Paramatma into the universe is called Anupravesha Shrutihi or Pravesha Shrutihi, which we saw, which we've been seeing in these classes. In the last class, I explained to you how the entry should be taken, isn't it? There's a few views of different people, how they see this entry, how Paramatma would have entered into the creation. And all the views were negated. Finally, Shankara made very, very clear, there is no such a thing called entry on the part of Paramatma at all. Very simple. One important, why Paramatma cannot enter, why entry is not possible, because of the nature of Paramatma being all pervasiveness. Sarvagatatvam means all pervasiveness. Paramatma, Parambrahma, okay, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Why? All being all pervasive is the very nature of the reality. And being all pervasive also implies what? Being full. Fullness and all pervasiveness are synonyms. Please understand very carefully. Isn't it? That reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, all pervasive means there is no place where the reality is not. Therefore, entry is possible only if the movement is possible, isn't it? Movement or entry is possible only if there is a place where it is not there. So how can sarva gatatvam, all pervasiveness being the nature of the reality, so entry and the part of reality, Paramatma, Parambrahman, is not possible. Therefore, there is no such thing called entry at all, really. So, why does Upanishad use the expression entry? Just to help us understand, to avoid our search elsewhere. If the word entry has not been used, we will be searching for this Paramatma elsewhere. So, Upanishad says, the word expression entry, praveshaha, you know, is used with Upanishad mainly to say the Paramatma is always without arriving, without departing, always Paramatma is available for recognition in the mind as the witness of the mind, distinct from the mind, behind the mind, as the truth of the mind. So Paramatmanaha, isn't it? Paramatma's availability for recognition as the truth of the mind, as the witness in the, the witness of the mind alone is implied by the expression entry. Now, the next thing was, we also saw, even Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary established very clearly the Pravesha Shabdaha, the Pravesha Shrutihi, the purpose of Upanishad using this expression entry, Pravesha, is not to say the Paramatma really entered. It's only to say that we need not search for Paramatma, that Paramatma's, for us to arrive at the availability of Paramatma. Where is Paramatma available for recognition? So that is only in the mind, as the very witness of the mind, Paramatma is available. That's only is implied by this expression entry. It's made very clear. Even after Shankara established this fact, still there are some doubts, there are some questions, some objections from people of other views. Why the objections come? Why the people have their own different views? Because when we say Paramatma alone has entered, which means Paramatma is very much there as the Jiva, as a witness of the mind, means the everywhere, wherever the mind is, there Paramatma is all pervasively there as the witness of the mind, enjoying the qualification of being the Jiva. That very entry, the Pravesha Shruti itself already supports, establishes Paramatma, Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. Isn't it? The Pravesha Shruti indirectly already clearly emphasizes the fact that Jivatma being identical with Paramatma. Jivatma is none other than Paramatma. In fact, there is no such thing called Jivatma at all. Paramatma alone is there everywhere. There is no Jivatma at all. But still, Jivatma is only a temporary qualification. Jivaha is only a temporary qualification attributed to the Paramatma. That's all. There is no Jivatma really speaking. It's only Paramatma. Jiva is only, there's not, neither Paramatma, it's only Atma, really speaking. It's only Atma. And the Atma, all pervasive reality is exalted, absolute, supreme, therefore we add the adjective Parama. Isn't it? So, Pravesha Shrutihi, this Shruti's Vedic statement, Upanishadic statement, which talks about the entry of Paramatma into the creation as the Jiva, implies that already Jiva being identical with Paramatma. Therefore, these people, other people who, the people of other views, why they, even after establishing their object, because it disturbs them too much, how can Jiva individual be identical with Paramatma? How can we say Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same? Because always we want to be different, isn't it? We feel cozy and nice to have somebody to lean on emotionally. You have to lose, isn't it? That is why they have their own different views. And that also as we saw in the last class. I told you how that the simple people need not study philosophy or need not be philosophers. Okay, the simple people can have their own views. Oh, if we say Jiva is identical with Paramatma, the expression entry really says Paramatma has entered there into the mind, available as Jiva means. If this statement really implies Jivata Paramatma Aikyam, oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma, then what happens? There's so many minds. In every mind there is a witness, therefore we can easily say there are many Jivas. And all many Jivas means, every Jiva identical Paramatma means what now? There are many Paramatmas. Many Ishwaras. And then we always like to have only one God. One Bhagavan, isn't it? God is one, truth is one, we want to say that. How can we say there are many Paramatmas? That is why it is not, no? This is one problem. Therefore, that is made, what is made very clear? Yes, definitely, the witnessed thoughts are many, witnessed minds are many, but the witnessing, the witness reality, the Atma is one and the same. Okay, who is the knower of the mind? How many knowers are there? This has to become very, very clear. This teaching, we already have seen this, and a new lesson. But here what is made clear today is, how many knowers are there? How many witnesses are there? It has become very, very, very clear, isn't it? So, minds are many, but definitely, the one who witnesses the mind, one who is that which obtains as the witness of the mind, the knower of the mind, experience of the mind, is one and the only Atma. There is no only one, the only reality implied by the term Atma. who is the witness? Who is the knower of the mind? See, before going to Aham Brahmasmi, it has become very clear by here now itself. Who is the witness of the mind? Then we have to understand here, what is the mind? What is the mind? We say, mind is the witness. Mind is the witnessed. Mind is the known. Mind is experienced. And there is the experiencer, the knower, the witness. And which is another than Atma. And we need to know who the witness is, the knower is, to say how the witness is one, not many. Not only minds are many, and each mind goes through three states of experience, states of, that each mind is what? Has three states of mind, not only one set of mind. In every mind, in all the minds, in each state of experience, there's only one and the only experiencer. Only knower, only witness. So we have to understand the mind itself. We take only the mind, okay? We take the mind, understand the mind itself. How are we going to understand? We have to understand the mind first only in terms of ahankara. If you do not understand ahankara, you can't understand other thoughts which constitute the mind. Is it clear? I'm taking diversion and helping you understand. How to understand my mind first of all? Mind has to be first understood in terms of ahankara. Immediately, what is ahankara? What is ahankara? So, we say, of course, English we say ego. That's a different thing. Ahankara is ego. Ego is ahankara. We say that. We have to understand the mind only in terms of ego first. Then we have to understand ego in terms of ahankara, in terms of thought. Understand the thought in terms of that which comes and goes. Because inexplicably subtle. Mind is inexplicably subtle phenomenon and constituted of varieties of thought modifications. So first to understand the mind, what you need to understand is the ahankara. That is why we say no other animal in the world is blessed with this mind. So what is ahankara? So to understand mind, we need to understand what ahankara is first. And what is ahankara? Ahankara or ego is nothing but a subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Now the next question comes, what is a thought? A thought is a subtle phenomenon, okay, which comes and goes. How to know it comes and goes? How to understand that? When this thought in terms of ahankara obtaining in the form of a thought, it is there, it is known. The thought being present is known. That the cognition, okay, thought obtaining of a thought being present is known. The thought being not there also is known. Therefore, we understand the thought, because the thought being present, thought being absent is known. Therefore, we understand how the thought arrives and goes. Thought comes and goes. And because we understand the thought comes and goes, that which comes only in terms of coming and going, arriving and departing, we understand, oh, that which comes and goes is a subtle phenomenon, which is a thought. Is it clear what I'm saying? And the thought is, how to understand otherwise? You don't know what thought is otherwise. And the thought alone is what? Like that, not only is one thought, and main is what? Ahankara. The knowledge of, first of all, knowledge of the very self in terms of I. I, if you don't understand I, then you can't say anything else. There is a thought, I, then I am. So I am itself is knowledge of existence of the self, obtaining of a thought which comes and goes. How do you understand it comes and goes? Because there is a time it is not there. There is a time it is there. This thought being present is there, known. The thought being not there is also known. Therefore, I understand it comes and goes. Because it comes and goes, I understand it is a subtle phenomenon and it's up in the form of a thought. And now only when this thought I am is there, what happens? The world also shines. Whenever this thought in terms of I am resolves, world also loses its status of being existent. In fact, whenever this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am is, it is waking state. Whenever this knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am is not there, it's a deep sleep state. Be very clear about it. What is a deep sleep state? What is a waking state? How will you define? Whenever the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am obtaining in the thought which comes, which is there, okay, then it's called a waking state. Whenever the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am obtaining from a thought is resolved, it is not that, it's gone, it's a deep sleep state. So the waking state, when knowledge is there, when the knowledge is there in the waking state alone, what happens? The another knowledge, knowledge of not only of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is also possible. Only when this knowledge is there, then all other thoughts are also possible. The thoughts which can function through the, which can pass through the sense powers are also possible. Okay, shrotra vritti, netra vritti, nasika vritti, all the thoughts which really, which are aware of the sense powers, and through the sense powers, which can come in contact with the external world also is possible. Is it clear? When I say the knowledge of the existence of the world obtained of thought is possible, means all the thoughts are possible. Only the sense organs also can be functional. If there is no knowledge I am, then all the thoughts are resolved, means sense organs cannot be functional. Sense organs are not functional, means, is it clear? Very, that's why I say understand the mind first in terms of ahankara. Without ahankara, there can't be any thought, there can't be sense organs, there can't be function of the power of sense organs. Even if it is a daytime, you will be fast asleep, means the world doesn't exist for you. It can be, it's not the waking, okay? The world, it can be day. But if you are fast asleep, the world doesn't exist for you. Even if it is dark, pitch darkness, still if you are awake, the world exists for you. Is it clear? Therefore, very important is what? The knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, obtaining of a thought must be there. Only then knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is possible. Why? Because that is when all other vrittis, because sense organs can be functional. The thoughts pertinent to sense organs also can be there. And the perception can take place. Then all the objects which constitute the world can be illumined. And respect all the sense organs, then illumine their own corresponding objects. Thereby, the knowledge of the world, light is, forms are, sounds are, sound is, smell is, all the world becomes known. the world of fivefold objects enjoys the status of being existent. Is it clear? Then when the perception takes place, again, afterwards, as a result of perception, what happens? Whatever is in our subconscious, they all can be triggered. When the perception, when the world enjoys the status of being existent, when the perception is taking place, that is when the mind, which was mind into the ahankara, with ahankara, knowledge of the existence of the self, up to the thought of this I, becomes associated, comes in contact with the external world, the sense organs. When the perception takes place, objects are known, then what happens? That is when your emotions are triggered in keeping with situations, not for the same emotion for everybody. For some person, oh, I like it very much, beautiful. Other person can say, no, I don't like this. Is it so? Raga, ragaha, dveshaha, is it? Then kopaha or krodaha. We can say, or this asuya, all the different emotions obtaining in my thoughts, all can rise only when the world enjoys its status of being existent. When the world doesn't enjoy the status of being existent, is there jealousy? Tell me. Anger, hatred, likes, dislikes. Even in sleep, when you're fast asleep, this jealousy, anger, hatred, my God, what will happen? In sleep, all this person is very angry. What will happen? Isn't it? In sleep also, your angry means what will do? What will happen? No, in sleep, you are Mahatma. No anger, no likes and dislikes, no hatred, no fear, no anxiety, no tension, no stress. That is why Swamiji always says, we all love sleep so much. We all love sleep. And nobody wants to be disturbed. If the child gets cranky, when the child is disturbed from sleep, at least you manage, okay? You're also cranky, but you manage. But child doesn't know how to manage the crankiness, that's why it expresses. Now what I want to, what is important here is, why the sukham, why we like it? Because in sleep, when the world does not enjoy the status of being existent, isn't it? Then no emotions are triggered. They're all there, but latent and dormant. And even when the world enjoys as being existent also, they are there. But a given situation, a given person, a given things become instrumental for them to be triggered. Okay? So, pairs of opposites. When do we go through pairs of opposites? Now, I'm telling you all these things. Later on, you have to understand Tarkika, his views. That's why I'm telling you all these things now. See, we go through all these pairs of opposites when? Only in the waking state, isn't it? Which means, and what about these pairs of opposites? You see the object outside, okay? The person or a flower, a living being and a non-living thing, or an action or a function or a movement, something you see externally. What you perceive can be an action or a behavior or a function or a living being or a non-living thing, or some object of enjoyment, anything, whatever you perceive, doesn't matter. But that becomes nimittam for you when you trigger what? Hatred or fear or anger in you, isn't it? Then what about those emotions? Objects are outside, but the reaction, you know, the perception results in some emotions, and those emotions which are triggered also, when they rise, in what form do they obtain? That's very important. Okay? So, antakaranam, that's why, without this ahankara, there cannot be any other emotion also. The emotions which are triggered, which surface, also obtain in the form of thoughts. Because emotion, how do you say they are also in the form of thoughts? Because they also come and go. Thank God, jealousy is not there 24 hours a day. Jealousy is triggered, and there's a sometime jealousy is. It disturbs. There's sometime fear is. There's a time, sometime anger is. Thank God, 24 hours anger. No. Sometime anger is. It comes again. So in that which comes and goes, and that which is available for experience, is said to be obtaining in the form of a thought. Is it clear now? Understanding thought itself. In the word, English word thought is a participle of thinking, isn't it? But it's a noun also. But you say thought. And in Tamil we have proper meaning. Why it's called Tamil? Thought is called thought. No? Yannam. Because that which rises is called thought. You can't say in English that which rises is thought, isn't it? Maybe if you look for this Latin Greek roots, we may find something. Proper meaning. Ranjit is going. He's going. Why thought is called thought? He wants to know. And in Sanskrit, we call vrittihi. Vartate iti vrittihi. Is it? That which is already. It surfaces. Anyway, so what I'm saying, please understand all these subtle phenomena also. Because so you don't see anger, jealousy, hatred outside. But outside what is seen is different. And the perception of what is outside results in the triggering of the emotions. Means they surface, they also come and go. But they are subtle. Isn't it? How subtle? You can't draw, paint and picture. But you can only, isn't it? You can't picture anything. That is why we call it all subtle phenomena obtaining in our thoughts. And those emotions are also obtaining in our thoughts are all objects of knowledge. Is it clear? All the emotions also objects of knowledge. Because anything which comes and goes is witnessed. Anything which comes and goes, subtle form, is what? Obtaining of a thought is known. Is it clear now? Now we say, if anything known means it is witnessed. And only in the waking state all these thoughts are there. So when these thoughts are not there, we call it what? Deep sleep state. So thoughts being not there, thoughts being there. Thoughts being present is known. Thoughts being not there is known. Which means, for them to become the known, there must be what? The knower. And what is that? What is that? I'm talking because you asked me the question in the car. What is that which is present? Because the presence of which? Thoughts being present is known. Thoughts being absent is known. Thoughts being not there is known. Mind being blank is blank. When the thoughts are not there, you call it a blank mind. There's no blankness of mind, okay? Mm-hmm. The thoughts are not there. You just think, oh, where are the thoughts? Not there. Mind is resolved. Thoughts being not there is also known. Thoughts being present also is there. Stillness is known. Disturbance is known. The thoughts are, then it's all disturbance. Thoughts are not, there is stillness. It's known. But even though you cannot talk about the stillness when there is stillness, but you can always, when again there's a disturbance, when the stillness is disturbed, when you wake up, you can talk about the disturbance. The stillness, isn't it? Which means it is known. And what is that which is present? What is that because of the presence of which thoughts are known? which means, so anything, anything which becomes known means it is illumined. Something is known means something is illumined, brought to light. So thoughts come to light. Thoughts come to light, which means there is an illuminator. Just as in the presence of the sun, opaque things come to light. There is something present. What is that in the presence of which? Because the presence of which? In the presence of the sun, opaque things shine. Opaque things come to light. What is that in the presence of which thoughts come to light? Ahankara comes to light. All the other, no, perceptions come to light. Cognitions come to light. Thoughts being present comes to light. What is that? What is that light? We say, what that which is, there is something else, something. And how does it look? Can you describe? Are you sure there is something? Yes, there is something. How does it look? Can you describe? No, you cannot describe. What is the form of it? No, no form. Sound form, perform form, color form, touch form, taste form, no form. No form. Because that is not an object, object of perception, nor is it an object of thought or sense organ. Therefore, you can't describe it. See, it is a formless, attributeless, and not even conceivable, and it can't be described. That is why we call it what used in the expression abstract. Where do you say abstract? You can say use the term abstract only if it is not describable, not perceptible, the most abstract. Even the abstract facts in physics are explained nowadays. No? So, most abstract, subtlest. That's why words cannot describe, thoughts cannot conceive, no, senses cannot perceive, we say that. You got it now? Now, okay, arupam, arupaha, atma arupaha, formless. Sukshma tamaha, subtlest. Arupaha, sukshma tamaha, subtlest. Why subtlest, abstract? Because only three means of knowledge. Is it? Not perceptible, not conceivable, not describable. Therefore, abstract. Now we say, and definitely, you need to know that which is present is of the nature of knowing. How do you say that abstract, formless, what is, no, that is the reality, and how do you say it is of the nature of knowing? Because in its presence, thoughts are known. Thoughts come to light. Therefore, we can say, we can even attribute another word, light also. Reality can be implied by the term light. Why? Because that in whose presence thoughts come to light. Therefore, light, you can call what? Jyoti. Is it clear now? What is the definition? Because that in whose presence things come to light is light. That in whose presence the thoughts, the presence of the thoughts comes to light. Therefore, it's light. You know the nature of effulgence. See, prakash swarupaha, prakashaha, you call reality is of the nature of effulgence. Self-effulgence, why do you say that? Because it's light. Why does the reality is the light? Because in whose presence thoughts come to light. Now, next thing is, therefore we say what? Because of which being known, thoughts being present is known, therefore, that, why does it know? It knows. Reality knows, and the knowing is the nature, sarupam. Therefore, it is jnanam. Is it clear now? Why are called knowledge? So, reality is implied by the term jnanam in terms of its nature of knowing. It is distinct from vritti jnanam. You get the point now? It is knowledge. So, we can understand what now? Arupaha. And one more thing I tell you before using the word Atma. And this reality, the formless, abstract, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of self-effulgence, light, and which is of the nature of knowing, therefore in the term knowledge, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. This is very important. How to understand that reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness? It pervades everything. It's there in everything. How to know that? How to understand this all pervasiveness being the nature of the reality? How to understand that? Only then you can understand why the word Atma is used. See, initially, reality, you can't use any word to imply reality. You start with Arupa. Is it clear now? Arupa, Sukshmatamaha, Prakasha Swarupaha, Jnana Swarupaha, is that Jnanam? Jnanam, now we say, all pervasiveness. I tell you, we say, the object of knowledge can be subtle or gross, isn't it? Externally perceptible objects through sense organs are gross objects because they are available for perception through sense organs. But there are objects not available for sense perception but available for thought perception. Like what? Headache. Or any pain. And also jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety. They're known or not. Therefore, they're objects. Objects of knowledge. Because even their objects of knowledge, they're not gross objects. Subtle objects obtaining in the thought. Really following what I'm saying? Subtle objects of perception, objects available for thought perception. Is it clear? Thought perception means what? The obtaining new thoughts that are available for knowledge, recognition. Sakshi Pratyaksha. It means available for Sakshi. There are also objects of perception. So, objects are subtle or gross. Please understand here. Objects, externally perceived gross objects, or internally perceived objects obtaining in the form of subtle thoughts. Objects are, understand, we say, the knowledge of the objects is subtler than the objects. Okay, knowledge of the objects is subtler than the objects. True or not? Subtle objects or gross objects? Knowledge of object is subtler than the object of knowledge. Is it clear? Now we say, if knowledge, why? Object of knowledge is dependent on the knowledge for its existence. And is it clear? Therefore, knowledge pervades the objects of knowledge. And the knowledge is subtler than objects of knowledge. Knowledge of the objects is knowledge of the objects obtaining in the form of a thought is subtler than the objects of knowledge, the subtle objects or gross objects. Now, knowledge itself is subtle means knower without whose presence knowledge is not possible must be subtler than the knowledge. And here, who is the knower here? There is no knower at all. There is only the pure, there is only the arupam, okay? Formless, abstract, okay? Formless, abstract reality which is of the nature of knowing, illumining. Therefore, imply the terms effulgence and knowledge, isn't it? Is there? And that reality is given, knower is only, there's no knower, we understand, there's no knower at all. There's only reality, in the presence of which thoughts shine. There's no illuminator here. There's sun and the illumined opaque things, that's all. And from the standpoint of the opaque things alone, illuminator status is given to the sun. Similarly, the knower status is attributed to the reality, abstract, formless, self-effulgent reality obtained of pure consciousness knowledge. Knower status is attributed. Okay? Therefore, resolve the knower also where now? In the very reality. Now, knower is not there, okay? Only reality is there. Knower is resolved. Now, because knower, without whose presence knowledge is not possible, the knower reality is what? Subtler than knowledge. Is it clear? Knowledge is subtler than the known, and knower is subtler than the knowledge. And that knower, knowledge, when he says knower subtler than knowledge means what? The knowledge of the objects is obtaining in the form of a thought. Okay? The knowledge of the objects obtaining in the form of a thought is subtler than the known objects. And the knower, which is of the nature of knowledge, implied by the word pure knowledge, is subtler than the knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. The swarupa jnanam is subtler than the vritti jnanam. Swarupa jnanam is subtler than the vritti jnanam. Is it clear? Now, this pure knowledge, which enjoys the status of being the knower, pervades what? Knowledge. And subtler the vastu, more pervasive it is. And which is the subtlest now? Tell me, object of knowledge, knowledge of objects, or the knower of the knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts? Knower. And who is the knower? There is no knower, there is only pure knowledge. What is a pure knowledge? To distinguish it from the witness, manifest knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, which is the subtlest? Already explained to you, subtlest is. Therefore, being the subtlest, it is the most pervasive, all pervasive. Simply we say all pervasive and all that. How to understand all pervasiveness? You had to be with me in every step. Do you see that or not? You must see right now here in the very class as I am talking to you, you must see. This is called giving vision. This is what is teaching. If you don't see, I'm blabbering. So, therefore, only now you can understand why reality is implied by the term Atma. Only in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness, reality is implied by the term Atma. So, Arupa Atma, Sukshmatama Atma, Sukshmatamaha, Arupaha, you can say only Vastu, Arupam Vastu, Sukshmatamam Vastu, then Prakasha Swarupam Vastu. Now we say what? All pervasive Atma, Sarvagatam. I know there's a big itching for us, you know that. How this one Vastu has become the whole, that will be an eternal mystery. You can only understand, Vedanta Shastram can help you arrive at what is the one which has become the whole, many. You can never arrive at how the one has become many. By the time you discover what is the one which has become many, you will disappear. You will not be here to make further enquiry. Suppose people say, oh, I can meditate and discover. How much ever you meditate, you sitting there as I'm a meditator, then all your discoveries will be within the realm of matter. You can make an excellent scientist who can come with lots of discoveries of the fact, subtle facts, which can contribute for, and improving our technology. But definitely you can never arrive at what is that one which has become many, you can never arrive at it. Is it clear? Every sentence I'm saying makes sense for me. I pray that it makes sense for you also. Isn't it? So all pervasiveness. There is no way of understanding all pervasiveness at all. And one more easy, another way of looking at it, only when there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am, that is, the knowledge of the existence of the world is possible. Therefore, existence of the knowledge, a world, presupposes the existence of the knowledge obtained in the form of a thought. And existence of the knowledge obtained in the form of a thought in terms of the world is itself is possible only when it's manifested knowledge obtained in the form of a thought in terms of I am. Is it clear? Therefore, without the knowledge, the world exists, but it doesn't enjoy the status of being existent. Therefore, knowledge presupposes knowledge. Therefore, knowledge pervades everything. Now, flower is means flower enjoys existence. Flower is means flower knowledge already must be. You cannot say flower is without the flower jnanam here. You only see outside what is here. Okay? Flower jnanam must be already there in our thought for you to see what is outside. And for the knowledge has to rise in our thought. The source for which there must be the source of knowledge. Therefore, knowledge which rises in our thought is called vritti jnanam, which is manifestation of the knowledge. And the source of manifestation is pure knowledge, and manifest knowledge is what? Thought. Thought, vritti jnanam. So this is of nature of all pervasiveness. And not only this, important, another thing what now. And this reality is what? Eternal Nityaha. Nityatma vise. Sukshma. Now, Arupaha. You start with Arupa. Well, in the very beginning, you understand, oh, there is something. Now, it's enquiry. You enquire. Where does this, isn't it? When this thought is not there, thought means the knowledge of the existence of self in terms of I am, when it is, it comes and goes, therefore it's a thought. And it's subtle. Isn't it? I mean, subtle phenomenon of a thought, it is not there, not being there is known, being present is also known. And what is that, because of the presence of which, that cannot come and go. So it's always there. Thoughts come and go. The arrival of thought is, you know, the arrived thought is known, the departure thought is also known. Departed thought is also known. Thought being absent, thought being present is known means, that which knows, the knower cannot be coming and going. Isn't it? The knower witnessing consciousness cannot come and go. It's always, it must be there. See the thing? Always there means what? How always? How long is it there? How long it doesn't come and go? Always means how? How always it is there? Sardabhati. How is it always there? We say, even the knowledge of the time factor. If the time is the within the realm of the material world, objective universe, time is the most abstract. Within the realm of the known. Time is the abstract. Most abstract is time. What can I talk about time? Tell me. What is time? Time. What is time? Time is the most abstract. After time comes space. Time is subtler than space. Time is subtler than space. You know? So time itself is a concept, relative concept, and which is an object of knowledge. How do you say it's an object of knowledge? Because there's a time where the time is not. Time being present is known. Time being not present is also there. Time being absent is also known. Therefore, time is an object of knowledge. So time is object of knowledge means existence of time presupposes existence of knowledge. And that knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. Therefore, time also comes and goes. And what is that which is aware of the presence and the absence of time? Isn't it? The knowledge of the existence of time. Isn't it? Is what? No. Is there even the time is not means is of the nature of timelessness. This, is it clear? Timelessness. Why I am talking to you now? I want to understand all pervasive sarvagatattva. For what? Atma doesn't enter anywhere. Oh my God. Don't forget, lose track of what I have been talking to you. Just to say one point, you have to go this much. Is it clear? To help you understand how it is all pervasive, I already told you all pervasive. But still I have to come to time, then I come to space. Is it clear now? Definitely now you are clear what is timelessness. How the abstract, formless, all-pervasive reality, which is of the nature of knowing, effulgence. Okay, self-evident reality is of the nature of timelessness. From the standpoint of Atma, the reality, no time. Okay, time, therefore we can use the term Nityaha only to refer to Atma. Time itself is Anityaha. Kalaha Anityaha. And anything within the realm of existence, within the realm of time is what? All Anitya, 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 Anitya. Anitya means what? Time bound. Subject to time limitation. That is why Anantaha. Kalataha aparichinnatvat anantaha. Why we use the term ananta? Infinite means what? That it is of the infinitude in terms of time, isn't it? Time was infinite. Time was limitless. Therefore, we say what? Eternal. You know, time was infinite. Time was limitless, therefore nitya. Now, same way, we have to move on to next. And space. All problems will be clear now. After time, what is that which is have to say? We have to talk about the space. Because space is spatially limitless. Even though space is spatially limitless, space is time-wise limited. There's a time, when the time is not, space also is not there. But what about space? Space is spatially limitless, but space is time-wise limited. Isn't it? So space also is what? Anityam only. But space is limitless, we say, but space also is limitless only from the standpoint of other objects. But space also is time-wise limited. Time is time-wise limited. Space also is time-wise limited. There's a time when the space is not. Space loses. This all-pervasive great space loses its status of being existent when you fall asleep. You fall asleep means what? When this I-sense obtained, there's no you, okay? I-sense obtaining in the form of a thought resolves, the knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining in the form of a thought, okay? When it resolves, why does it resolve? It is of the nature of coming and going. That is why it is known by the term thought. Why do you call this manifest knowledge as thought? Because it comes and goes. It resolves. Then space also loses its status of being existent. So what is that which is there, being aware of the space being not there? So space also, the object called space, space is object of knowledge, time is object of knowledge. I remember Swamiji explained to me in Taittiriya Upanishad class. I remember exactly Swamiji's hands and the way he talked, you know, many years ago. So space is object of knowledge. That is enough for you to say it is time bound. Object of knowledge means it doesn't exist outside of knowledge. Swami, Saul, yours, the space is in this. If the space doesn't exist, there's space in your buddhi, he'll say. I remember Swami's words. Isn't it? Where is space? Space is in knowledge. And where is this jnanam, knowledge? Knowledge is not outside of. Knowledge also is in knowledge only. The way I have to tell in the future, later on, the Tarkika has to go to come and see. He, for according to Tarkika, Atma is inert. And he is going to talk about this. He can't, because Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, no, they don't accept. And he come with lots of point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons. And how Shankara has to just negate them. So before we go to what Shankara is going to say, what Rakaya, very simple lessons, these subtle facts must be very clear for you. This I'm taking one by one. Since you're seeing space, so definitely space doesn't exist outside of the vritti jnanam. As object of knowledge, even this Mahan Akashaha, this great space, spatially limitless space, is also time-bound. There must vritti jnanam, the knowledge obtained, manifest, knowledge must be manifest in him for thought. Only then, in the light of the knowledge, isn't it, the space can enjoy the existence. In your centers are being existent. Is it clear? Therefore, space is also object of knowledge, means knowledge of space is more, pervades this space. Is it clear? And the knower of the knowledge, knower of the presence of the thought, isn't it, is a pure knowledge which is all pervasive. Okay? The reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, this arupa, sukshmatama, nitya, isn't it? Now, sarvagata atma pervades even this space. So, I told you same expression in the Tathaiti Upanishad for you. Akashaha avakasha pradata, the space pervades everything. But space itself is pervaded by reality of consciousness. The consciousness pervades. The consciousness pervades, knowledge pervades, means reality obtaining in the form of consciousness pervades. Even the words consciousness, knowledge, etc. we are using because only in terms of its nature of nature. Is it clear now? Is it clear? So, all pervasiveness. Now, eternity understood? So, eternity is not something, yes, attain, okay? Swarupam. All pervasive, sarva gatatvam is what? Swarupam. Swarupam, every word implies the reality in terms of its swarupam nature. Sarva gatatvam is what? No? Swarupam. Eternity is what? Swarupam. Sukshmatam is what? Swarupam. Jnanam is what? Swarupam. Now, knowledge pervades means everything is accommodated in the reality obtained of pure knowledge. Just as, that's why accommodated is the form, name and function. Accommodating, that which accommodates is what? The substance, the truth. See, now time, space, what about the objects? Time and space, and all the forms, names and functions, all the objects existing within the realm of time and space can be reduced to what now? All the objects existing within the realm of time and space can be reduced to forms, names and functions. And all of them are what? Every form, indicated by every word, any function is object of knowledge. Object of knowledge means object of knowledge is pervaded by knowledge. And the knowledge is pervaded by the knower reality, the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is all pervasive. Therefore, knowledge is object-wise also infinite. Time-wise infinite, spatially infinite, knowledge object-wise infinite. ಏನೋ ಕಾಲತಃ ದಿಶತಃ ವಸ್ತುತಃ ಅಪರಿಚ್ಛಿನ್ನಂ ವಸ್ತು. ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ವಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಲಿಮಿಟ್ಲೆಸ್. ಗಾಟ್ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ನೌ? ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಆಲ್ ಪರ್ವೇಸ್. ನೋ, ಟೆಲ್ ಮೀ, ವೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ನಾಟ್? ವೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ನಾಟ್ ನೌ? Which object is not pervaded by Atma? Which time is not pervaded by Atma? Which place is not pervaded by Atma? Which is not pervaded by Atma? And Atma is eternal, means the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, eternal, all-pervasive reality obtaining in the pure knowledge alone is Satyam. Within this, everything comes and goes. And doesn't go anywhere far from Atma. Okay? Exactly, waves have to come, is origin. That's why no creation. We're going to see that later on. Okay? Now understand this much. Therefore, is it possible for the Atma to enter anywhere? Huh? Then why does Upanishad use the word Anapravesha Shrutihi? Because, just to say, you are here as an individual, and with this eye-sense, and having identity with the body, mind, sense complex, isolating yourself from the whole, helplessly, not that you want to isolate, helplessly, choicelessly, inevitably isolating yourself from the world, and struggling with all this, going through paths of opposite, sukha, dukkha, etc. And then you want to know, with your little capacity is given to you to know, explore, and you want to know what is this, sometimes you get frustrated with things also, and then Shastras come and discover what you are. That is where Purnatam is. That is why amazing is Upanishad. Upanishad is Aho Upanishad Jnanam. Isn't it? Tells you, discover now. Understand. That is why, really speaking, understand Ahankara, isn't it? So discover that. That is why it is there. We have to arrive at the Brahman, isn't it? And how are you going to discover it? Where Ahankara is, isn't it now? Without Ahankara, no Jagat possible. So don't go and search for the truth in the Jagat. The Jagat itself is dependent on Ahankara. So just go straight to Ahankara. How to say that? What Ahankara? Antakaranam. Mind only. Therefore it says what? Without Ahang, I sense, no mind itself, no other thought possible. First basis is Ahankara, is the mind. Nothing but manifestation of knowledge obtaining from our thought in terms of I am. Isn't it? Without that, nothing is there. That is why. So, Atma is already available for recognition. Even though the all pervasive, available recognition of the truth of I in the mind. To say that what it says, pravish, Atma pravishtaha, saha pravishtaha. Just to say, so Shankara says, this praveshash, anupraveshash shrutehe tatparyam. What is the aim of this anupraveshash shruti is? Just to say, Atmanaha, Paramatmanaha, Upalabhyatvam, Manasi, Manasaha, Sakshi Rupena, Upalabhyatvameva, Praveshashrutehe Tatparyam. Manasi, Manasaha, Sakshi Rupena, Upalabhyatvameva, Praveshashrutehe Tatparyam. The aim of the Praveshashruti is just to help you understand the availability of the Atma as the witness of the mind, in the very mind, as the truth of I. So, now we talk about the existence. This is not relevant for this, but I add this also. As a Vishnit, as a clarity comes. Now tell me, now that which accommodates is accommodated. Not physically, okay? Understand, now water accommodates. The wave the forms and function called wave is accommodated. Isn't it? Now, what is existence? Okay. Water lends existence to the forms, names and functions called ocean under waves. When you say lends, it is not a physical action. Okay? When you say water lends existence means, why do you say water lends existence? Without the water, the form, name and function called ocean will lose its existence, will disappear. Therefore, I use the expression, for want of explanation, I use the expression what now? Water lends existence. Now again the question, that does water really lend existence? Like gives, not physical action. Water lends existence means, why does it lend existence? Is there any action? No. It's the nature. Is it clear now? Lending existence is nature. With reference to ocean, water, with reference to ocean, lending existence is the nature of the water. Therefore, existence is what? Nature. Is it clear now? Similarly, when you come to the same thing, you know, the whole jagat, time and space, and all the forms, names and functions, all the objects, you know, with innumerable, countless forms, names and functions. After within the realm of time and space, all what now? Accommodated. And that in which accommodate? Pervaded by, all of them pervaded by what? The accommodating reality, the vastu. Vastu with reference to ocean is water. Vastu with reference to this whole jagat is what? We say atma. Don't say paramatma, jivatma. Just say atma is enough. The reality. Now, atma lends existence to the jagat. So, initially we say anatma. There is no anatma, okay? Only atma. Atma lends existence to the jagat means, what is jagat? Just the non-substantial forms, names and functions. Substance lends existence to the forms, names and functions. And why does it lend existence? Why does gold lend existence to the chain? Nature. Why? It's the very reality. Being the reality itself is what? Is lending existence. Your existence is what? Very nature. Is it clear now? Therefore, consciousness is the existence. There are two different things. Okay. This is not, again, not part of the class today. Only my only aim was to teach all pervasiveness and to make you see atma does not enter anywhere. Does not come and does not go. And whoever goes and comes, they are coming and going only in Priyatma. Only thing is, we have to shift the eye sense cognitively and see that I am Atma, you have to see. Not like I am Atma, everything is Atma. You don't need to say I am Atma. You just to say what is only Atma, you have to see. Where is I sitting now? Tell me. Where is the I? Gone? Where is the I? Only Atma. You want to be emotional, Puranic language, what is only Bhagavan, Ishvara? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.